Well, welcome to yet another episode of Elevated on Radio Pulpit. If you're joining us for the first time, get comfortable. I am Jenna Lee Belong, your host for this hour on Radio Pulpit, and it's going to be a great conversation as always. Today, I'm blessed to have the South African worship leader and gospel artist, Keith Rain, with me, who just, by the way, released his latest single called Offering of Praise. It's rooted in scripture and marked by a heartfelt devotion. The song is, he calls it, a passionate call for believers to offer their lives as daily acts of worship, not just through music, but through every decision, every breath that we take. Keith, good day and welcome to Elevated.
Andy, good day. Thank you so much for having me, and good day to all of your followers, listeners on the radio, and everyone who's tuning in on YouTube.
Listen, I must say, I'm excited to get to know you because of this song. I listened to it and I can't wait to get to know the man behind the music. But let's start with getting to know you. Who is Keith Rain for those who's bumping into you for the first time?
Fantastic. So Keith Rain, that is my stage name, but obviously known as Keith Sibiya. That's my original surname. I'm from KZN and currently serving at Highway Church, that is in Centurion, as a worship pastor, head up the worship ministry and everything really related to the worship space at Highway Church. I love the bride, man. That's who I am. I'm a servant of the Lord before I'm anything else. I serve the Lord, and then I'm a worship minister. So that's who I am. I'm married to an incredible wife, Weza Solange. Many people will know her because she's more of a public figure than I am. But really, we just love Jesus. We love to serve the bride. And there's nothing more to it but just to love Jesus and enjoy that we're called into this journey with him.
There's a big sacrifice to serving the bride. It doesn't come easy, right? It's sacrifice as a family, it's sacrifice as an individual. What are some of the biggest sacrifices that you've had to make to be a worship leader, to be a servant of the bride?
Oof, Jenalee, you just went very deep, really. I almost get tears as you ask the question because, look, I never always used to be a musician. I never always used to be in the church, I think, like many other people. And I was a soccer player. That was me. And that was my story. I was going to be a soccer player. Nothing else made it. Education even didn't matter to me because I was quite decent at it. So my future was in football. And I found myself, just to give you a little bit of a testimony, I found myself in Cape Town, moved from KZN, from Durban to Cape Town with my family. And I was lined up for my trials for Ajax Cape Town at the time. I was about 21 years old. And Premier League, that's where I was going, and I was excited about that. And but what happened is they said, okay, your trial date is on, I think it was like the 4th of May or something like that. So I had like a month before I get there, and I needed to train so I'm fit. I walked out of the training field of Ajax Cape Town, and across the road there was another training field that a team was training there, and I thought, let me just go train with these guys so I can be fit, you know, when my trials come. I went trained with the team. I didn't know who they were. And then afterwards, they wanted to sign me. I'm like, who are you guys? And then I found out it was Vasco da Gama, which was also a major team in Cape Town. And I decided to sign with the club. Played maybe about 2 months in the club, and I got injured very badly and seriously out of football. My career ended right there at 21 years old, and I couldn't get any further. And that was my identity, generally. I think this goes to anyone else who's listening. I think it's very important for us to root our identity, to find our identity in Christ. And anything else fades away. And right there, where I put my identity in, everything for me was football, as much as the time I was serving Christ, but football was my number one thing. And it ended right there. I was crushed. I was crushed, like, to beyond repair, in a sense. I moved back to Durban, and then I found myself back in the church, and then I picked up my guitar, and that's where it all started.
So, incredible, yeah. Incredible, incredible. And I think a lot of people can identify with you in that regard, where you have this picture in your mind where God wants to take you, or the vehicle that God will use you in. And then God says, no, wait a minute. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, give you a hope and a future, and I will direct you in that way. Tell me about that first moment when you picked up the guitar and you realized that this might be what God has in store for me.
I've always kind of sang, but it was never my first love. As I said, football was my first love. And so when I went back to the church that I was a part of, it's called Red Point Church in Pinetown, went back into the youth, and I got back up on stage as one of the leading vocalists. And on a Sunday, I played percussion, believe it or not, and did backing vocals while I was playing percussion. And somebody just prophesied with me, said, "Actually, we see you leading, you know." And I was like, It was difficult in the space that I was in because I thought you cannot lead without an instrument. Everybody seemed to play a guitar. And somebody gave me a guitar. I took that guitar, played it for a month. It was difficult. I put it away and collected dust for a few months. And then I really just felt this drop in my heart. Like, you know what? Actually, you're called into this. I picked up the guitar and self-taught myself. And then I started playing, and I've never looked back since.
Now, worshiping and making music is two different things. You
Oh.
can make music without worshiping, right? You can make great music without it bringing glory to God. Do you think that when you look at the South African gospel landscape, do you think that we are seeing music mostly or worship mostly?
I think there's a lot of music, to be honest, because I feel like worship is it goes hand in hand with the person. I think, first of all, are we actually rooted as musicians, as worship ministers? Are we rooted in a local church? That's the first thing. That's the first goal, because we are to be in a local church. And if we're not, then we are doing music, you know? Even the songs that we're writing for the masses so we can be popular and stuff like that. But actually, we are called to worship as believers. I think, our worship needs to be one that glorifies God and exalts Him in its truest form, from deep in our hearts. Our worship needs to be the one that invites God's presence in the local church and then beyond. You know, Jesus talks about being ministers of the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. My Jerusalem is right here in the local church, and then the ends of the world. You know, and if I'm not rooted in a local church, I doubt if we actually are truly worshiping God. So I think it's important for us as musicians or as worship ministers to shift from the singing of songs to actually ministering. We need to understand that this is not just us gaining popularity, but we entrust it not just by the agents who put together the event or whatever, but God has put us in that place to minister to people. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. Not just to sing songs, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I believe that the songs that we sing are like keys, can be like keys that open doors in people's lives. And if worship doesn't start within us in our private space, and then when we take that into public, we won't be able to open doors in people's heart. We actually will become barriers in people's lives. So we want songs that actually open doors. We want to minister in people that it opens doors. It brings healing to people's lives.
Amen.
So I think we need to be very careful as musicians or as worship ministers.
Absolutely. I want to ask you something on that note. You spoke about the
Yes.
importance of worshipers, musicians, gospel artists being planted in a local church. Now, as a speaker, I
Yes.
used to remember that when you invite speakers to speak in your church or minister in your church, or when I am invited to speak, they used to ask for a reference or ask, where are you planted? You know, who's your pastor? We would love to welcome you to come and speak in our church, but who's pastoring you? They don't do that
Yes.
anymore. They go based off my profile. I'm known, come and speak. And I find that they do the same with gospel artists. Just because you are known and you're a gospel asker, we don't ask where you planted and who are you accountable to anymore. In fact, they consider that old school, Keith.
No, absolutely. I think it's important that I like that you're saying even the pastors of like, those churches that invite you, they don't ask anymore. I think the question needs to be thrown at them as well, you know, to say like, actually, we need to make sure that these people that we bring in to minister to our people, they belong to a local church and they are accountable to someone. I think that's one of the reasons perhaps why I feel a lot of worship ministers are not being pastors, pastored. They're doing whatever they want to do. And if they do something wrong, the churches that they are in, they don't even confront them because they're going to run away. They're going to go to another church, you know. But actually, musicians and worship ministers need to be pastored. I think there's a hunger and there's a massive need for them to be pastored. So I think we need to, the narrative needs to change and try and bring back that local church space. Are you in a local church? Want to minister from the local church? When you travel the world and do your world tour and stuff, come back to the local church. Let your local church be the one that releases you. And I think it helps us with our doctrine and it helps us with how we minister as well, how we write our songs as well, because we are rooted in a local church and therefore our theology is solid. And they check on our theology as well.
Absolutely. That's so important. I always speak about the fact that we are singing songs in churches and we don't check the theology of those songs. We just sing them. You don't cross-reference it at all, which can be very, very dangerous. You mentioned something very important earlier, and you were talking about the danger of writing for the masses. That I think is so important. We are writing for the masses. We are not necessarily writing for God or from God anymore. We just write, I think, for entertainment purposes. What song is going to be the hit? What song is going to be getting high rotation on radio? But I'll leave that there because we have so much more to get into, Keith. I want to ask you about worshiping in difficult circumstances. As a country, we're facing a lot right now. We face so much.
Absolutely.
Our children are being raped and abused. The economy seems to be in tatters. I use that word, seems to be very intentionally. It seems to be in tatters. There's political turmoil, distrust in the police service. There's so much going on. And sometimes it's hard to worship when the situations you are facing are difficult. Have you ever found yourself in a position like that?
I think my identity, I think I love this scripture. Let me take us back to this scripture, the very beginning, the opening verse of the Bible. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. That in itself is where we need to find our identity. Regardless, we can actually close the rest of the scriptures and just focus on that scripture, and it should give us a foundation of everything else. In the beginning, God, not in the beginning, the most beautiful song, not in the beginning, Jenna Lee, not in the beginning, radio pulpit, not in the beginning, Keith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in Colossians 1:16, it says, all things were created by him and find his purpose in him. So everything we do is for him, you know. So I think it's we are in a very critical state at the moment as a nation. I spoke in the church, in my friend's church, actually, Gospel in Jamestown, and my topic was really about seasons. You know, we are in a season, and it's important for us to understand the season that we are in. If it's winter, it doesn't mean that now we don't pray because it's winter. It's actually good for us that we are actually in winter. All four seasons are important. Summer, autumn, winter, spring, all are important. When the winds come and shake the tree, actually, it makes the roots want to go deeper and be strong and hold on to and make the tree stronger. That's what it is. So when winter comes, we need to pray even in winter. I think for me, these songs were written in a season of winter, you know, when I think of it, because I was in a season of waiting. I was in a season of uncertainty, not sure where I'm going, what's going to happen. But in that, I could not stop singing. I could not stop going back to the Father, because worship is not necessarily just the singing of the songs. Worship is our lifestyle. It's who we are. When we are struggling, God is still God. He still sits on the throne. We need to get up and say, Lord Jesus, I know it's tough, but you know what? Even if it's tough, I'm going for you. And when we bring it to the congregation, to a worship sort of space in a church, I like to say that worship needs to be both vertical and horizontal. You know, we sing happy songs and stuff, but actually we need to come in reverence and thanksgiving to God for the little that we have. That is Very vertical. And in that vertical, we get to encourage one another even in the difficult situations. We ought to pray regardless.
Absolutely,
I don't know.
absolutely. If you would take us into confidence, you're talking about the songs that was written in your season of winter, so to speak.
Yes.
What do you mean by that? What was happening in your life at that moment that you would categorize it as winter?
You know, so there's, I think we all have dreams. We all have our vision boards. Like, this is where I want to see myself. This is where I want, this is what I want to do in the next couple of years. And then I find myself in my late 30s. I'm not married. I'm still single. I'm not finding the one. And then I find myself in my late 30s thinking, you know what, I'm in the church here, but I feel there's a move. I felt there was a move at the time, but I didn't know where it was, where I'm supposed to go. I had churches calling me. Because I'm a worship minister, I had churches with friends say, come join us here and there. Fancy churches, good relationships that I had with the people. But I was like, Lord, I know I'm in this season. It's a difficult season, but it's a season of waiting. I'm going to wait in this winter. I'm going to wait in this coldness until you speak. When you speak, only then will I move. And this applied into everything in the workspace, it applied with relationally as well, because in the workspace, I was in the corporate world. I was doing good in the corporate world. I was a sales exec in one of the biggest print production companies. My job was good and good prospects in that. And then God came and he knocked 2 years later of me praying and saying, Lord, what's happening? Where am I going? What is the future like? He came and knocked and brought me into full-time ministry. And I wasn't even gonna question that because I knew that was him. So in that season of waiting, praised him regardless. I wrote these songs in that season of waiting, conversation between me and him, saying, Lord, what's happening? And he takes me to the word. And that's how these songs came about. That was my season of winter.
You say that this song, what a beautiful offering of praise. You say it's inspired by John 4, verse 23, and Romans 12, verse 1. Help us to understand.
I love many stories in the Bible, but I love this very particular one in John 4, because this is where Jesus and his disciples are journeying, and then he goes and stay and meets a woman in the well when his disciples go to get food out in the town, for lack of a better word, and he meets this lady, the Samaritan woman, in the well, and they get into this conversation of worship. He's a Jewish man and it's a Samaritan woman. They shouldn't actually be speaking to one another. And then Jesus says, a time is coming and has now come where worshipers, true worshipers, will worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's the way it is. I think for me, I got to a place where I felt there's nothing else that I can give. I can't give enough materially. I can't give enough even with just time, but actually an offering of praise coming before God and saying, Lord Jesus, my whole life, this is what I am, this is what I have. I want to give you everything of me, you know, a lifestyle of worship, you know, not just the singing of the songs is worship. Everything that I'm doing, Lord, I bring it to you as an offering of praise. You do whatever you want to do with it. And that's where it's come from. And also in Romans, it says that we are to offer our bodies a living sacrifices. And that those two scriptures for me are key to the songs. And that's how the song came about.
I love it. And I also read you say it's important, or it was important, is important to you that this song speaks across board, cross cultures, cross denominations as well. Maybe unpack that for us.
I think sometimes, you know, sometimes people say, you're writing a lot of songs. A lot of my songs are in Zulu and English. I think in two languages. I'm a Zulu man, and when I think in both languages. And so I tend to write a lot of my verses in English, and then I'll have a tag in Zulu or I'll have the chorus in Zulu. And for me, I think sound-wise, it's a song that can transcend different cultures, you know. Because of the instruments, how it's been composed, how it's put together, the electric guitars and the percussion that's in it. And then vocally as well, it's not your typical South African gospel song. It's very, a lot of people are like, hey, you sing, let me know, you sing like a Western man, but you're singing African songs, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that's a gift. I see it as a gift that's helping actually me transcend different cultures. I was going through the States actually, and people are listening to it more in the US than most of the African countries, you know. So I'm like, we must be doing the right thing. So yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it. Yet, though, you're talking about not traditionally sounding South African music, yet you will be working with the likes of Sbu Banda on your upcoming EP, which is interesting to me because he has more of that traditional
Yes.
South African gospel sound. Tell me about that.
Listen, so everyone, just like you, when I said, oh, Sbu is jumping in on this track, everyone said, Sbu is very traditional. And I said, well, that's the reason why I'm actually bringing him in, because he's a complete opposite of what I do. And he's a great guy. We are good friends. And I think he understands the vision and the idea. So I sent him the track, and it didn't take 5 minutes. I sent him like just a demo. It didn't take 5 minutes, and he says, let's do it. You know, and when we went into studio, we recorded the song, and I was very anxious because I wanted to see what he's going to do. Gave him the freedom of creativity as well. Say, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is how the song's going to sound. You do this verse your own way. You know, and it came out incredibly well. It came out incredibly well. You know, two different worlds really, but I love it. You love it. So the song is called Telumoya, and it's a beautiful song.
When can we expect to hear it? When are we expecting the full EP?
So the full EP is due to be coming out on the 8th of August, which is just around the corner. So yeah, I'm super excited for people to hear the rest of the music.
We can hardly wait. I mean, your music, as you say, it draws all of us in, and it draws us to a place of worship, you know, authentic worship, which is beautiful, but I think which flows from you being a worship leader and a worship minister in general, which is where I want to take us back to just quickly. You spoke about your wife earlier. Talk to me about,
Yes.
by the way, for those of you who are listening on radio and you're not watching us on YouTube, he has a very big smile on his face at just the mere mention of his wife. Talk to me about, I don't want to call it challenges, but for the lack of a better word, the challenges of being in full-time ministry, being married, being the head of a household, you know, that comes with its own challenges as well. And how's your wife helping you in that regard?
Let's see, my wife, Weza, she's obviously watching as well. She is the most beautiful woman in the whole world. She's incredible. I think, so funny enough, when we'd known each other for a very long time before we actually started dating, and she's always said, I'm never going to marry a pastor or anyone who's full time in ministry. And ta-da, the Lord has something else in mind. So. But she's really somebody who loves Jesus. She's somebody who is passionate about the gospel. The challenges, yes, there are challenges because, I mean, we live in Bedford View and are serving a church in Pretoria in Centurion. So you can see the distance already. I think my Tuesday and my Wednesdays, I leave the house like as early as 7 o'clock or 6:45, and I come back home like around 9:30 in the evening, you know, because I can't be going back and forth. So those kind of things. So you spend the whole day, at least 2 days in a week, where we don't actually see each other. And I do travel a lot as well, because we do some conferences around. We'll go to Mauritius, we'll go to Dubai or the US, all over. So I try to bring it with me, because I believe that God has intertwined our hearts in the most incredible way. Her ministry and my ministry have come together and really just fused and brought this beautiful fragrance. So we do a lot of ministry together as much as we can. I think that's where the weight is lifted in terms of the challenges.
I'm just looking at her Instagram while I'm talking to you as well, once again, because she's just so pretty. Weza Solange, if you guys can go and follow her, Weza underscore Solange. How important is it to marrying the right person, the God person, when it comes to our purpose in life? The power of the wrong person to derail us completely. And how do you know when it's the right person, Keith?
It's very important. I think in my waiting season, that's not as one of my prayers really. Lord, bring the right person, somebody who's going to come and not just support me in my ministry, but that our ministry will come and collide and bring this beautiful fragrance together, that we our ministries will complement each other. And I think it's important because if you are both, the Bible talks about being equally yoked. It's very important. If you're equally yoked, you understand your calling and each other's callings, and you support each other in the calling. I think it's very important. It's very important. It's one of the most important thing that we can do. If you're looking for a wife, find a wife who is rooted in in Christ, and because they're rooted in Christ, you'll face challenges, but you're always holding to your post with Christ. And if you're a woman as well looking for a husband, you must pray for a husband who's rooted in Christ, because together you can flourish into so much more for Jesus.
Absolutely. I was reading a post that you made about your marriage. She was saying a love story years in the making. We met twice over the course of 8 years. God was still perfecting us, molding us according to his omniscience will. Third time was the charm, she said. So you waited and waited and waited, and God finally did it. What do you
Amen.
still hope to achieve? You do so much. We touched on your
Yes.
music. We touched on your ministry. I mean, as you said, you guys minister together as well, quite a strong couple for the kingdom. What's your vision? What do you hope to achieve for God?
I think for me, the biggest thing is to help his people worship him. I think people don't necessarily know what how to worship him, and what worship really is. As musicians, we are the ones that teach them. We put forth what they end up believing. So I think that's one of the reasons why our sound in South Africa is very much the same, because that's what we've sold them. That's what we've given them. So if you come with something else, it's not easy for them to accept you, because they're not used to that. And I'm saying worship, I don't know if that's what worship is going to be in heaven, just the South African sound. I think worship in heaven is going to be the beauty of all these different cultures, different traditions, different languages from all over the world, to bring in this beautiful worship that we'll be having 24 hours, day and night, as we worship. As the Bible says, day and night the angels are singing, holy, 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 holy. I don't think that will be just one sound. I think it's multifaceted. And so after all that, what God has put in my hands, because I think everyone has got something in their hands. So God has put this in my hand. He's put this sound in my hand. He's put this gift in my hand. And I'm just asking him, say, Father, I have this little gift in my hands. Won't you anoint it? Won't you bring about authority? And when I minister, may your people be touched. I pray that when I minister, people can get healed. That's where my dream and my desire is. People get healed. The blind eyes are open. The deaf ears are open. The lame walk. And that's my cry, and that's my desire. And really to take this gift into the world, wherever God is willing to take me.
Well, I want to appreciate your time and for you sharing this gift with us today as well and blessing us with your music, Keith. As we wrap this conversation, final question to you. What do you say to somebody who might still be at the place where you were many years ago with your soccer
Yes.
career? That injury where you felt like
Yes.
this was my life, these were my plans for my own life, and now something, an external force or whatever it might be, has come to disrupt my plans. I feel hopeless. I have no direction. Who am I now and where am I going? What's your message of encouragement to them today?
So there's this beautiful story in the Bible, in Exodus, where Moses encounters the burning bush, and the conversation there is God asks Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And Moses says, "It's a staff." So that stuff is key to many things. That stuff is the same stuff that Moses raised, and the sea was open, and the Israelites went through that. That stuff is the same stuff that Moses struck the rock, and water came gushing up, and the Israelites were thirsty, and they all drank, and their animals, it says in the Bible. So my point is, God has put something in our hands. God put a staff in Moses' hand, but Moses' staff will have remained Moses' staff with no impact whatsoever. But Moses' staff became God's staff, and incredible things happened. So, whatever gift you have, there's no gift that is insignificant in the kingdom of God. You would think, oh, you know what, this is so small, but no. Bring it before God, bring it before Him, and say, Lord, you've given me this. Is it soccer? Bring that soccer gift. Basketball, running, sprinting, singing, or just loving people, or generosity, whatever gift it is that you have, gift of just serving, bring it before Him and allow Him to anoint it. And you do that for His glory. As it says in Colossians 1:16, all things were created by Him and all things are for Him. Just bring it before Him and you will anoint it and you'll do incredible things in it.
Amen and amen. That's the voice of Keith Rain. We've had the privilege of spending the last couple of minutes with you, and all your music, including this new song, available on all digital platforms. If somebody would like to get hold of you, sign up for updates. How do we do that, Keith?
So you can get hold of me either on Facebook, it's Keith Rain, and also on Instagram. That's where I'm more involved. Instagram is Keith Rain Sibiya, Keith underscore Rain underscore Sibiya. You can find me there. And also, just go into the streams and any digital platform, and you'll find my music under Keith Rain. Let's go and stream it. Let's share it, and let's enjoy it. You'll be blessed. You will be blessed.
Amen, amen. That Keith Rain is Keith and then underscore REIGN, important,
Yes.
REIGN, Keith Rain underscore Sibiya. Keith, God bless you, your
Yes.
beautiful wife, your family, and all the work that you do for the kingdom. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and all, and God bless your listeners as well.